Every child has soul needs. The first one is for love. A child needs to know that they are loved by their parents, unconditionally loved. They're not screaming at me, yelling at me, telling me I'm no good, like that, hitting me. No, my parents love me, and they sacrifice for me. So that's the first need every child has, is to be loved. And then every child needs mercy. They need to know that they can make mistakes and come back, that it's okay, that I might be punished for some mistakes I make, but it's okay, I can come back, that there's mercy in my house. And then every child needs to feel safe, secure, protected. They need to know, I'm protected. I feel secure, I feel protected in my house, in my bedroom. I feel protected in my family. And then every child needs to have their needs provided for, provision, that they need to know there's going to be food on the table to eat, and that mom's going to make something for lunch, and that there's going to be some clean clothes to put on because I'm too little. I don't have a job. I can't do all that, make all that money. So they need to know that mom and dad are going to provide the things that they need. And then the last thing I put was they need to be delighted in. It goes along with love, but they need to be delighted in. That their parents like to have fun with them. You know, we delight in you. We delight in you. We enjoy playing cards with you. We enjoy playing games with you. We just enjoy you guys, like that. And so love, mercy, forgiveness, safety, provision, delight. And these are the soul needs that every child has. But we're all children of God. We all have those same needs. If you have a child that has those needs met, you're going to see a happy, generally happy, healthy child. And if you don't, you're probably going to see a child who's going to have to go to counseling to get help to deal with that. Same thing for us, children of God. If we have our soul needs met, and our psalm says that the Lord comes to meet our needs, the hand of the Lord feeds us. He answers all our needs. We have physical needs, and we have soul needs. The needs he wants to satisfy are the soul needs. I would imagine all of us here, especially in the United States, the richest country in the world that has ever existed, I think we all have our material needs met. We all have clothes, thank God. I would imagine you had something to eat this morning, and you probably will have something to eat later today. You will have food today, right? You had a place to sleep last night. We might have somebody who doesn't have a home with us once in a while, but I think most all of us had a place to sleep, a roof over our head. We probably had a bed to sleep in. We probably all have clean water, right? Thank you, PID, or your well. So if you get sick, you need to have some medicine. I got some medicine if I need some medicine. If I get a cold or sick, or if I do something, break something, I can go to the doctor. Those are kind of our needs, our needs. Our material, all of my material needs are met. Not all of my wants. I want that car. It's like the Migajo or something like that. It costs $3 million. Kids, have you heard of that car? The Migajo or something? A $3 million, and that's the base model. The base model. $3.9 million, like I guess if you want the luxury. But notice it says, he answers all our needs, not our wants. So many people are unhappy. They have their needs met. They have their needs met, and they're miserable. Because I want, I want, I want. And I don't have what I want. So I'm upset. I'm frustrated. I'm angry. Even angry at God. No, just remind yourself, you've already answered my needs. And Lord, there might be times where I do present a need to you that would really be nice to have, and you can answer that if you want to. But what he's really asking, when he says in this first reading, all you who are thirsty, he's talking about our soul needs. All you who are thirsty, come to the water. You have no money. Come, receive grain and eat. Come without pain, without cost. Drink wine and milk. He says the soul needs. I can meet those needs. And once you have those needs met, you really don't have to have life be perfect. You don't have to have all your wants met because you've got your needs met. Paul recognized that in that second letter. He said, I've got the love of Christ. I have my needs met. And so, who will separate us from the love of Christ? Anguish, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, the sword. He says, what problems can you have on earth that can separate you from the love of God? Nothing, because the love of God is permanent and it's inside. He said, they could even kill you. They could even take your life, but you can't lose the love of Christ. You would just go to Christ. And so those soul needs. And all of these things, Jesus says, I'm not going to charge you for them. To meet your soul needs. There's no cost. I won't charge you anything. There's no charge, but there is a cost. And to be honest, most people aren't willing to pay the cost to freely receive the gift. And the cost is your very self, your free will. I have to give, Jesus said, deny yourself. You can't think about yourself anymore. You have to think about the Lord. You have to give yourself to Him. You don't take control of your life. You don't control what you're going to be doing through the day. He controls it, and you're asking Him, what would you like? What time do you want me to go to sleep, Lord? What time do you want me to wake up? What would you like me to be doing the last hour of my night and the first hour of my day? Is this joke I'm telling, Lord, is it appropriate for a son of God? So you don't control your life anymore. He's controlling it, and He's guiding you through His Spirit. You also do have to deny the false gods of the world, because Jesus says you can't. If you love money and material things, and you love your career and your good looks and the trophies you have and getting ahead and competing with other people, that's what the world offers you. But my enemy is controlling the world. Don't listen to him. Those are false values, false gods. If you listen to those and you go after those things, you can't have me. You cannot serve God and mammon and the things of the world. And so you do have to deny those false gods. Convince yourself they're only momentary pleasures anyway. It's just in the moment that they make you feel good. And then you're empty again. More soul needs. And yes, the cost is you do have to deny sin. You do have to give up sin. All of us can sin, but for a Christian, it's a once in a while thing where, you know, you lose your temper or something, or you just had a horrible day and then you just blew it, but not on a regular kind of basis. You know, you're not going to hear a Christian cussing through the day as a habit. No, because the Spirit can't mix with that. And if I'm always angry, I'm always angry, I'm always unforgiving, I'm always critical, I'm always correcting, I'm always negative, I'm always lustful, and it's like a habit thing, God says, you're choosing sin. So you have to identify the sin, it has to go away, and that's a cost, because there's an attraction to sin. And then lastly, I do have to move deeply into prayer. This will not happen without a deep prayer life. And that's one of the biggest things that Satan does for Christians is he keeps us very busy. He wants to. He wants to keep us busy throughout the day so we are distracted from the Lord all day long where we're not even thinking about him. And so you do have to move deeply into prayer. I know my friends there at the Vina Monastery. I know those monks, I haven't asked them exactly how many hours a day they pray, but I think it's between 5 and 7. They work and pray. They work and pray for us, not just for themselves, but for the whole world. They intercede for the world 5 to 7 hours. And they fall in love with that quiet time, that silent time, the times when they're praying the Psalms in their chapel. I'm not a monk. I God would not ask me to do 5 to 7 hours a day because I'm a parish priest. I work with the people, right? But he asks me for 2 to 3 hours a day. That sounds like an awful lot, like you would just be bored to death, right? And it is at the beginning. You are bored to death when you're not used to it. But once you get used to it, you love it. I celebrate Mass every day. This is an hour of prayer.
And if I keep talking and talking, an hour and 20 minutes of prayer. So this is an hour of prayer right here. And then I pray the rosary every day, and I pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet. And then I have the Liturgy of the Hours, which is about 45 minutes. Those are prayers from the scriptures that all deacons and all priests, all sisters, and lay people pray it too. I'm sure there are lay people here who pray the Liturgy of the Hours at different times during the day. Prayers from the scriptures, the Psalms mostly through the day. But I'm not always active in my prayer. I love to just come into the church. I get to work right next to Jesus. What a blessing. My job is right next to Jesus, and I get to open the door anytime I want. I love to come in and just sit here, and I'm quiet. I just close my eyes. Sometimes I fall asleep, but Jesus wakes me up, and I just look at the tabernacle. I close my eyes, and I just feel his peace and his love. In the morning, I'm not always saying prayers. I love to just sit there and listen to the squirrels play on the pine trees, running around each other. I can hear them playing. I can hear the birds chirping. At night, I can hear the crickets. That's when the crickets and the frogs come out. I love that sound. Middle of summer when you open up your windows. And so I just love nature. And I sense God. I see God there. So my prayer is also passive. And so make sure for lay people, you should be spending at least an hour a day. So me, 2 to 3 hours a day. For you, at least an hour a day. And if I'm the Lord, I would say, children, are you letting my enemy distract you, making you so busy you don't even have 1 hour for me? I give you 24 hours. How can you not have 1 hour for me? And when I went down to Durham this morning for the Mass, there's a Methodist church in Durham, and I pass it, and they will change their sign like we have our sign out here. What did it say? It said, close your Facebook. Close your Facebook and open your faith book. That's what it said. Yeah. And Jesus says, my children, you have to do that. You do not let our enemy, he is my enemy. He's fighting against me and my kingdom, my love. And he's fighting against you, and you're listening to him. You're doing what he wants, and you don't even know it. Don't do that. Listen to me. I want to meet your soul needs. He wants to make you miserable. He wants you in hell with him in the end. Don't listen. Turn off your Facebook. Open your faith book. Dedicate yourself. Be disciplined. So, yeah, there's no charge for God's love for the kingdom, but there is a cost. I can't live for myself. I do have to repent of sin. I do have to deny the false gods of the world, and I do have to move deeply into prayer. And once I do that, then I'm able to meet your needs. And because Christ is now meeting our needs, my needs, because now I'm free. I don't need my wants to be full, to be met. And all my physical needs are being met by Jesus. And now my soul needs are being met. So I feel the love of Jesus, the mercy of Jesus. I feel that he is protecting me and guiding me. He has a plan for my life. And he knows when he's going to bring me home. And he is providing for me. I mean, I had water and food. You know, he's providing for me. He's even given me great friends and a great family. I mean, that's even amazing. And then, and he delights in me. I sense him, that I'm his buddy. And he's my buddy. He's my Lord and Savior. He's my God, but he's my buddy. At the same time, I can tell him anything. So my soul needs are being met. When your soul needs are being met and he's meeting your physical needs, then you're free. You're free. Now you're free and you can be sensitive. Now you can serve. Now you can serve your neighbor. And that's the thing about the gospel, is Jesus is so free. He's so free because he doesn't need anything. He has everything he needs. And the apostles are not quite free yet. They see the problem, 5,000 people. We don't have any money. We don't have any food. What are we supposed to do? And we have all these people, and it's late. You know, it's 7 or 8 o'clock at night. Sun's starting to go down, and we're all exhausted. It's the end of the day. And it was 104 degrees that day, probably the same as paradise. And we're all tired and exhausted. So Jesus, just tell them to go away. Tell them, we don't want to tell them to go away because they'll hate us. You tell them to go away. You, Jesus, you tell them to go away. They can worry about their problems. And Jesus says, no, no. Even if you can't always help, and sometimes you can't always help, you can always care, and you can always pray. And then when you can help, help. And Jesus could help. He could help because he could multiply the loaves. And he did. And he did. But he could see the need because his needs were already met. And there's our lesson for today is Jesus saying, you know, come and drink freely. It's free. I'm giving my love freely. Please, let me meet your soul needs. And then recognize that I am already meeting your material needs. Now you're ready to love your neighbor. I believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages.